And let's all welcome Sheena. Thank you.
Thank you so very much for this opportunity. Sheena, compulsive overeater, and very grateful to be amongst you this evening. I was born in 1968, a big baby, to the extent that I actually, my mother had great difficulty delivering me, and at that time I actually almost broke my neck in being delivered. My mother suffered from terrible postpartum depression, and the problem with that was that I have neuropathy from birth in the lower part of my legs. They've tested it, and I only have about 20% of what normal people feel. So I didn't know how I was about two before I actually learned how to walk. Because I didn't actually know that those were legs, that they were supposed to do something. and so I was taken great care of. And the problem was, of course, if you start out so late, I was already, they called my mother the best cow in Joburg, which is kind of South Africa, because her milk was so rich for me that I started off, they put me on my first diet when I was 18 months old. And I couldn't play with the other children. I couldn't be with the other children. My brothers could climb and run and I couldn't. I had to stay inside and be taken care of and sit quietly and behave. And so I learned how to hide out with adults. I also therefore didn't develop the social skills for being with other children. I didn't know how to have friends. I didn't know how to be amongst others. And it was just so much easier because I could just hide behind my grandmother's chair and color in my coloring in book. Of course, if I didn't make the tree green and the branches brown, my mother used to lose her temper and tear it up. And at that point, I learned to build puzzles and do all kinds of things that were quiet things quietly behind my grandmother's chair. One of the quiet things, of course, was, here we are, have something to eat. So I started off very large, unable to exercise or run with the other children because I didn't know how to walk. And yeah, that part of my life was really difficult. And then I went into primary school, started my first years of school, and I didn't have any social skills. It was also discovered at that time that I have dyslexia. So I identify with the neurodiversity in this meeting because I couldn't learn to read and write. I forever was learning how to spell things, and it didn't matter. The letters just never followed where they were supposed to follow, and I just couldn't do it. So I started off my life working stupid and unpleasant and difficult child who could not put up with other children, couldn't take part, so couldn't make friends at school from the very beginning, and eventually moved into keeping away from other children because other children didn't like me and couldn't put up with me. And so I moved in away from other people and got very much more involved. I used to go to the library at break so that it was sort of a safe place to be. And so my schooling continued. I eventually, thank goodness for maths, because otherwise I don't know that I would have actually got through the years. But eventually I did get to high school. I actually wasn't held back. I was just really fat, really stupid, and really not wanted. I also came from a very religious home. I had been told very early on that if you do not think about God all the time, you're going to go to hell. And unfortunately, I discovered that there was a soothing behavior of touching myself that made me feel calm and happy until I got caught by my mother, who told me then not only was I stupid and worthless, but took me and douched me with disinfectant, which then caused major pain. And it was a constant embarrassment that I was not only stupid and worthless, but now dirty and sinful as well. And that was how I began until I was about age 12. At that point, I'd been told that my father had had a heart attack. Well, he was still part of our family, but he was very distant. He had a heart attack and he died. And I went to high school. And in high school, I found something I could do. I could get by with my maths and my science because that made sense to me. I could cope with the scientific side of things. I also came to believe in Jesus. I became a Christian. Well, I was an out and out Christian. I was so much of a Christian that I was a Pharisee. And I used to send letters to my friends to tell them that if they didn't change their ways, they were going to go to hell. A real sweetheart. Until I grew up I actually got what is called the Hacker Award for exceptional courtesy and kindness to others when I was in high school because I'd found something that kept me with the people that I could do. I could be a Christian. And then, of course, I left high school having not really understood why others always wanted to go out with the boys. Very complicated that. What the hell did they want boys for? We were so nicely happy together. And then I discovered that that's because I'm a lesbian. And now, not only do I not have my faith, but I'm going to go to hell because the only possible way, if you are a lesbian, is you're going to go to hell. And I came away from that situation feeling totally lost and confused. I had my first girlfriend, but so I gave up on God. But somehow there is something in me that kept calling me back. And there is a passage in Isaiah 56 that says, "To the eunuch who keeps my Sabbath, I will give within my courts a name higher than that of sons and daughters." If you do what God is calling you to do, God wants you back. And so I could go back. And for me, that was very freeing. Except then I was involved in a lot of ministries. I was very blessed by that. But I was still trying to find my feet. And got involved with, I love service. I love being part of a group. I love the fact that one can actually do things and be part of a group. And part of that was joining Christian groups. And it was all very well until such time as they found out that I was a lesbian. And then I would get kicked out. So it was just incredibly, incredibly painful. The amount of, I always say I've been kicked out of the nicest of places in my life. I began drinking too much. I got involved with a fall down drunk was my first real relationship. She was violent, and we took her every Christmas to dry her out. After her, I got a complete narcissist who was into gambling. And at that point, I began to realize that I actually had a bit of a problem, because I would hide the food in my car. Because if I went into the house, you first had to ask permission to eat anything. And then I had to do the dishes every night, but she did it. They had to be done in boiling water so that I could burn my hands. And I didn't realize that if she lost money and I replaced it, that was not actually good for her or for me. So I really kind of dealt with the compulsions, because she was addicted to gambling. And eventually, after a number of years of pain and suffering, I met a really wonderful woman. Her name is Sarah, and she and I have been together for 11 years. But she has sexual anorexia. But that was fine. It was safe. We were friends. It was good. We could be together and actually have a life together. I was told that I had diabetes and that I was actually quite sick, and they were looking at amputating my foot. And I thought, well, I know about AA because of my first relationship. We tried that with her and it didn't work. Perhaps there's something for compulsive overeaters. Perhaps there's someone who can tell me how to stick to a diet, because I can't do this. I've tried other diets. For 3 or 4 months, I've tried other diets, but this doesn't work for me. What am I going to do? They're going to cut. Now, I'm a nurse. They're going to cut my foot. The next thing to go is the knee. When they hit the hip, you've got about 5 years to live, and then you're dead. And I thought, what am I going to do about this? So a year ago, yesterday, the 11th of July, I entered OA. What a change of joy and contentment came upon me. What a wonderful, incredible place to be. They told me this is not a diet plan. You need to measure your sugar levels in a way that makes sense. And the way that makes sense is to use my diabetes. I went from using 2,000 milligrams of the medication down to a maintenance dose, practically at once. And that worked for me. But all the things that I had kept contained began to come out. And I did, right at the beginning, lose my mind a little bit. I didn't know what was happening to me. I had not understood where I was at. And suddenly other compulsions and other thoughts were filling my head. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. I couldn't understand why I became totally obsessed with OA and with people in the rooms. I didn't understand what was wrong, except that I wanted to be in relationship. I wanted friendship. And I was scared because I didn't know how to approach that. And I unfortunately got myself a little bit of a bad reputation. But honestly, I had not done most of the things I had been accused of. It was just part of that cycle of healing. And what I can say is, even when it is almost impossible to keep going, even when things seem totally out of control, stay with the steps. Stay with the sponsor. Keep coming to meetings. Don't give up, because that's where the joy comes from. Emotionally, I began to settle. Eventually, I was able to admit to, and I mean, this admitting to you what my mother was like and the fact that she was insane and totally, we had to be very careful not to upset my mother. We had to be on our best behavior. The other relationships that I had been in, I was the one who actually ended up taking care of her in her last days. She got dementia and then she got bedridden. And I was the one, my brothers who had the money ran away and left me to take care of mother. And I did it. Because another thing the Bible says is honor thy father and thy mother. And I just believed that. So I stayed with it. But I was confused. And if it hadn't been for Sarah, we could not have got through that. But in my healing, she's been able to heal. My healing has led to other healing. And so spiritually and emotionally, I have healed. I had the privilege of being, thanks Marilyn, I had the privilege of being in the San Diego convention this weekend. Stayed up, took leave because it was all night that I had to be awake. I'm in South Africa. But I enjoyed it so incredibly much, learning about Roseanne and the beginnings and the joys of this experience was just overwhelming. So I came into this and grew from that. And part of this is actually taking the message. I work for a medical aid now, which is a medical insurance. And last week, we got the first chance to take the message out. Every member who belongs to us is going to be able to hear about OA and the fact that there is hope here. And they're just going to be able to tell the people. And I am so excited about that. I am so excited. One of the things for me is I can really get into this program because of our diversity policy that says, even though I'm a lesbian, you're never going to kick me out. As long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I can stay. And for that, I am so grateful. And I'm grateful to all of you, especially in this particular group, which is why I wanted to share with you. Neurodiverse, may you be blessed. And your free thinkers, keep going with whatever you see God as. Find the God of your understanding, because that God is real. Don't follow the script. Find the God that you can follow. So thank you so very much for letting me speak, and I will be quiet now.